So the last couple of times that I spoke on a Sunday evening, we looked at a couple of well-known passages on the common theme of yoke. Firstly, it was Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then secondly, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And tonight I want to share some thoughts on yet another very familiar passage, but there's no yoke this time. So could you turn with me please to Matthew chapter 28, and we're reading verses 16 to 20, the Great Commission. So reading from verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. The first thing I'd like us to consider is to whom is Jesus speaking? This passage is often quoted as though it were addressed to every individual believer. A preacher might say, are you making disciples? And if not, you should be, because that's what Jesus tells you to do in Matthew 28. But is that really the case? The passage tells us clearly that Jesus addressed his 11 disciples. It tells us that right at the beginning in verse 16. So he's talking primarily to the 11 that he'd chosen to accompany him throughout his ministry years. So what do the words mean for us today? We know that evangelism did not end and was not intended to end when the apostles died. So clearly the words have relevance to a wider circle than the 11. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And in that occasion also, he's directly addressing the 11 apostles. But again, he's speaking more widely. Note that the command in verses 19 and 20 does not only say make disciples of all nations, but also baptize and teach. So if the words are directed to every individual believer, then every believer is also to baptize and teach. And this has clearly not been the practice of the church throughout the ages. Because it's been the practice of the church that not all believers are to baptize doesn't mean that that's right, that that's correct. Scripture has precedence over tradition. However, in 1 Corinthians 12:8, we do read that only some are appointed to teach. And I do think that that applies to baptism too, that we're not all called to baptize. So similarly, from this passage alone, it is not telling us that we all must make disciples of all nations. It seems to me that Jesus is speaking to the church as a whole. He's not talking to every one of us to say, you must make disciples. But he is saying that the primary purpose of the church is to go and make disciples of all nations. So, evangelism is the primary purpose for the church, but we do not all play the same role in achieving that purpose. We play different roles to which we've been called. The body has many parts, it says in 1 Corinthians 12. It's interesting that Christ uses the term make disciples. There are many terms in use today to refer to the event or process by which people become children of God or are born of God. And many of these terms are not found in the Bible, including, for example, become a Christian, make a decision for Christ, I have decided to follow Jesus and all that. Just because a term's not used in the Bible doesn't make it wrong. For example, we find the doctrine of the Trinity in the Bible, but we don't find the word itself. If you look in a concordance for Trinity, you won't find it. But the Bible clearly teaches about the Trinity. So just because the terms become a Christian or make a decision for Christ are not found in the Bible doesn't in of itself make it wrong. But nevertheless, I do think we can be too loose with our terminology, and I'm probably as guilty as anyone. So let us be sure that we have a sound understanding of what salvation is and how it's obtained, and let's use our terminology that reflects that understanding. We understand by Christ's use of the term make disciples that to be a believer is to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. Discipleship is not an add-on, optional extra. We don't accept Christ as Saviour and then at some later stage also acknowledge him as Lord and begin to follow him. We recently considered on a Sunday evening Luke 9:23. It might have been last week. If anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So, being a disciple isn't a different thing than being a Christian. Although it's sometimes presented that way. It is sometimes presented as an optional extra. How are disciples to be made? Well, notice that Jesus does not say, watch while the Holy Spirit makes disciples. He says, go and make disciples. We understand from Scripture that God is sovereign in all things, salvation included. Believers are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, it says in John chapter 1, verse 13. Nevertheless, the Sovereign Lord has appointed his church to partner him in this glorious task, this great adventure of making disciples. A few years ago, I was at a church where someone gave a word of testimony And as part of it, he said, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. And I thought that was a little bit odd. It seems to imply that proclaiming the gospel is more virtuous than actually... proclaiming the gospel by example is more virtuous than actually proclaiming it with words. Anyway, not long after I attended the annual conference of the Northwest Partnership, one of my idols, shall we say, was speaking, Kevin DeYoung. DeYoung said that this phrase is often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And DeYoung says about this, this has a number of problems. First, there's no record that he said it. And second, there's no indication that he lived by it. And third, it's contrary to scripture. And according to wikiquotes.org, there's no trace of that saying prior to the early 1990s, which is quite some time after St. Francis of Assisi passed away. The Bible uses many terms to describe our role in the world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that I've already referred to, we're witnesses. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. In Matthew 5:13 and 14, we are salt and light. Now, if you think about these words that describe our role, you'll see that some of them involve speaking. What do? Witnesses speak. They tell what they've seen and heard. Ambassadors represent their the people that send them, and they speak on their behalf. Salt and light. Now, those aren't speaking parts, really. Those are doing activities. So, I think that how we live is important, but we do not proclaim the gospel and make disciples purely by how we live. Words are essential. It says in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So I think these words that were attributed incorrectly to St. Francis of Assisi have got the wrong end of the stick. The next thing I want to mention is, in a sense, a bit of a puzzle to me. Verse 16 again. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee. We know that when Christ was raised on the third day, the disciples were in Jerusalem. We know that when Christ ascended after 40 days in Acts chapter 1, the disciples were also in Jerusalem. Yet Galilee is, I'm led to understand, about 68 miles from Nazareth. No, Jerusalem. The distance between Jerusalem and Nazareth is approximately 68 miles, which is estimated to be 4, maybe 5 days' walk. So, it is something of a puzzle as to why Jesus told them to go to Galilee. And Jesus had told them, it says in verse 16, that they went to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. So they went off to Galilee, Jesus gave them this command, and then they went back to Jerusalem. Quite a long trip for in those days. Now, as far as I can see, we can only speculate why. For example, with Galilee being the place where Jesus' ministry started, that might have been why he told them to go there. But I don't think we know why. All we know is that Jesus commanded them to go there and they went. What are the disciples we make to do? And what are we to do as disciples? In verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, sometimes we hear the argument that all you need to do is believe and then you're saved. And then you can do what you want. And this is a position that's known as antinomianism. And it's something that Paul addressed in his letters. But clearly, if that were the case, then why does Christ utter these words as part of his great commission? That what we're to do is make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What would the point of that be if it didn't matter what we do? We're shortly going to be looking at the life of Martin Luther in his discovery of justification by faith. But our faith is evidenced by what we do, by our actions. As James says in chapter 2, verse 17, faith without works is dead. So these words that Christ spoke to the 11 disciples are relevant to the church today. The primary purpose of the church in the world is to proclaim the gospel in word, backed up by deed, in order that disciples will be made. I don't believe it was Christ's intention that each of us should beat ourselves up if disciples are not made as a result of our own personal testimony, or even if we rarely get the opportunity to tell others about him. We have different gifts and different roles to play. Nevertheless, I do think we should reflect on the role that the Lord wants us to play in this task, and to ensure that we play that role. So let each of us consider carefully the role that Christ would have us play in his great adventure of making disciples of all nations, and let us also spur one another on to this end. Saturday before yesterday, I went to some of us went to an FIEC gathering in Otley, and we had a tenner of those bookstore, and I bought Roger Carswell's Facing a Task Unfinished, Cultivating Personal Evangelism Week by Week. And one of the things I thought was, I should buy that book and read it. And the other thing I thought was, it's a very long time since I've sung that hymn. So we're going to sing it now.